Here's the thing. If you're listening to this podcast, if you're a member of the EdTech Club, you have an interest in using technology in education. And of course, like the rest of us, you probably get excited when there's a new app, a new program, a new device, a new tool you can use to create learning in your classroom. But before we can put those tools to use, we have to think about how we're going to use them. That's where instructional strategies come in. Whether you're working with adult learners, your peers, in professional development settings, or of course you're working with students in the classroom, using the right strategies can make a big difference. So, for this meeting of the EdTech Club, we're heading to the library to... We're heading to the library, where we'll do a little bit of research with Director of Professional Development at TCEA, Miguel Gulen. He's going to take us through the research. He's going to point to some instructional strategies that have proven effective. He's going to talk about how and why they're effective. And of course, we're not going to let you go without sharing some tech tools you can use. So that's all coming up in this meeting of the EdTech Club, and it all starts right now. Hey folks, thanks for joining us for another meeting of the EdTech Club. And of course, this week we're not meeting our guest speaker in the classroom. We're heading to the library to do a bit of research. So let's go meet Miguel now.
So instructional strategy, I'm going to pick one that I'm familiar with. I had an opportunity this summer to offer some professional development as part of TCA's Empowered series. And we focused on something, on a strategy known as reciprocal teaching. I'd first encountered reciprocal teaching in San Antonio, Texas, as part of working with sixth grade students. A lot of the kids were in that situation where they weren't able to, they were able to read, but they didn't actually comprehend or understand what it was that they were reading. And so we didn't have any sixth graders who were at first grade level in terms of decoding. We had sixth graders who could decode, but they, when they were working through text, they didn't quite comprehend it.
You know, especially in terms of language learning, this feels familiar when I think about the fact that I took 2 years of Portuguese. Mm-hmm. I couldn't speak any Portuguese to you. I couldn't watch a Brazilian television show and tell you what they're saying for the most part. But I could sit down and read a Portuguese text and make all the sounds and read it correctly, but I wouldn't know what I'm saying.
So an instructional strategy, an intervention that we could put in place would be something like reciprocal teaching. And reciprocal teaching was developed by Ann Palenskar and Ann Brown, I want to say back in the late 1990s, 1998, just to give you an idea, maybe even further back than that. And their approach involved introducing students to four strategies. The first one is predicting. And if you think about when we read or watch TV, we're constantly predicting. And good readers do that as well. But a lot of kids who don't have that background, they don't do that. It's just the words on the page and that's it. There's no internal monologue, dialogue going on. A few of the other strategies include questioning, being able to ask good questions. In fact, you could point to questioning and say, if you can't ask a question about what your process, the world around you and how it's coming at you, and then you really aren't a reasoning human being. You're missing out on taking control of your surroundings. In fact, I remember reading the Power of Questions by Dorothy Leeds, and she was talking about how important it is to be able to ask questions about what's going on around you, because asking a question is how we control our environment, control our conversations. Students who can't ask questions aren't able to interact with the text at a deeper level because they can't get at the motives behind what the author was writing or the characters. Clarifying vocabulary. How do you deal with words that you don't understand? and then summarizing, which is actually a really powerful strategy in itself. But how do you summarize? What's the main idea? How do you quickly grab onto what the main idea? What are some of the supporting details that enhance that? If you can't do those four things, predicting, questioning, clarifying, summarizing, then you're really not processing the text. And so it doesn't matter how well you read. If you can't do those things, then you're really up the creek. Now, think about this in terms of the future. As we go forward into the future with that's full of artificial intelligence and robots and everything else, students are going to have, or people are going to have to be able to process difficult text. And you need a collection of strategies or strategies that are going to accelerate your ability to process all of that new information and make sense of the unfamiliar and do something with it. Reciprocal teaching takes those four strategies, predicting, questioning, clarifying, and summarizing, and provides the to students so that they can learn how to do that. It's not just for accelerating student growth for students that maybe are several years behind, but it's also for students who might be on grade level or even ahead of grade level, because throughout our lives, we always have to process information, and reciprocal teaching allows us to do that, not just with written text, not just with fiction, but also nonfiction, especially with nonfiction, since that's what the kind of text that we consume most of our lives, and then, but also with all sorts of media. So an instructional strategy like reciprocal teaching can actually have a profound impact on how quickly students learn. Now, Palinskar and Brown did the research way back when, but then another guy named John Hattie also continued and said, I wonder what strategies work in the classroom? What are strategies that we have research for and that the research says work? And he actually did a meta-analysis. He didn't do research on every individual strategy. He collected research and did a meta-analysis of it, sort of combining them together, assigning each one of those an effect size. The effect size is essentially a measure, a number of what accelerates student growth. If it doesn't accelerate student growth, John Hattie says, well, don't bother. Why are we wasting? We have really no right to use strategies with students that aren't going to accelerate their learning. So when we ask, what is an instructional strategy? It's a strategy that enables students to learn faster, better. And if we're using the right set of strategies, the ones that work, in this case means strategies that accelerate student learning beyond just a normal year's growth in the classroom.
Well, this kind of leads to something I think is important when we think about talking about strategies that work, prioritizing things that we feel have an effect. What does the research say is effective, and how is that research carried out, and how do we, what's the methodology there?
So one of the things that I've really noticed since I began my career as an educator is that I was introduced to a variety of different strategies, try these out. Then over time, I was introduced to another set of strategies. And as a teacher, I was very excited about doing things that were engaging for students. And so that probably is what took me over into the technology realm, or using technology with students. And I started adopting different technologies and fitting them into different models that I used. And so I'm afraid to admit that I probably stopped looking at a lot of the more traditional non-technology related activities and strategies. That was not good on my part. And I suspect I'm not alone. There was a John Hattie, who is featured prominently in the TCA Tech Notes blog, and especially sharing some of the effective instructional strategies. Those are the ones that are supported by research and that accelerate student growth. He says that effect sizes have to be sort of perceptible to the naked eye. And so he says that a lot of the strategies that we typically do in classrooms, and unfortunately, you know, strategies that include like project-based learning, those fall into a typical effect. That is, they don't hurt the child growth, but they don't, nor do they accelerate it. And one of the points he makes is that we really have no right to use any instructional strategies in the classroom that do not accelerate student growth. And that makes a lot of sense, because you want to provide, you want to use the best strategies in the classroom that are going to move kids along faster, because, well, growing, accelerating that growth is really essential, especially since many of our kids in urban situations, they are coming to us behind. Mm-hmm. You know, they are 1 or 2 years behind, and we want to get them on grade level, and then we want to get them doing even better.
Yeah. Like a typical effect strategy might keep someone on track with the grade level they're at, but if you're dealing with a classroom full of students who are behind grade level, you're actually inhibiting them.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you made that point. So 0.40 is sort of what he calls the hinge point. And that's the average effect we can expect from a year of schooling. So anything greater than 0.40, you get, that's really worthwhile. So that's reciprocal teaching is 0.72, I believe, or 0.74. I don't remember exactly.
Pretty good.
0.74. So you're getting almost 2 years growth there in that time. But there are some strategies that are just sort of standout. Reciprocal teaching is one of them. Jigsaw is another strategy that's, you know, it has a effect size of 1.2. Some of these strategies also are really about, about processing information, but they're also about conversations. And what I've noticed is some of them really are about talking about the information, getting kids to have those academic conversations.
So there's also like an inherent kind of feedback mechanism, or even real-time almost assessment. You can kind of see what a student is, where they are in their process of comprehending a text or an idea or something.
Exactly. And it's pretty, you know, so we think classroom discussion is about kids having great conversations, learning conversations, which are powerful. But what's more powerful is the teacher learning from those learning conversations and then adjusting instruction to mirror that. And that's not just that's not an obvious, oh, I can take advantage of that. The teacher has to, as like you said, on the fly, be able to reflect on what's happening, what's being said, and then make adjustments and nudge conversations in a particular direction. Like, take for example, Jigsaw. You know, I know we have a great blog entry on Jigsaw, and I know I wrote one on my reflecting on Jigsaw. I used it with adult learners, and it was got some really interesting insights about it, because I thought when I learned about Jigsaw, I thought I knew everything there was to learn about Jigsaw. In the sense that Jigsaw is about, if we're reading a magazine article, you take page one, I'll take page two, and that other person takes page three. We each read our respective parts, and then we come back together and share. And that was my understanding of Jigsaw for many years. In fact, when I chatted with some of my colleagues, they said, yeah, that's what Jigsaw's about. But that's not what Jigsaw's about. The Jigsaw method that's being referred to as an effective instructional strategy actually has a whole nother process. It goes a lot deeper than that. And part of that process is that students are reading, processing new information in a new group, coming back, sharing that, understanding what that information means in context, and then going back and sharing the context, what insights they gained, discussing what a particular piece of information means in context with the other people who were looking at it in isolation. And it's just, and then perhaps doing some writing about it. John Hattie put a lot of these strategies in his book, Visible Learning. And he made a list, and the list has changed over the years. But I think most definitive list, of course, is a list that you can find online. If you go to, I believe the address is www.visiblelearningmetax.com. So Visible Learning MetaX is one word, no dashes or dots. And then you add .com after the X. You end up at a place where you can see all of the different effective and ineffective strategies. And what's really eye-opening for a lot of educators as well as school leaders is to look at strategies and see what those strategies, whether they're considered effective or not according to the research.
Mm-hmm. And there's an app for this.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Yes, there's an app. So it's nice to be able to go to the Visible Corwin Press's Visible Learning Meta X database. I wanted something I could quickly access on my phone. And I don't know if you've been to the Meta X site, but they actually embedded a table inside of a table, which was really kind of convoluted. It doesn't work that well on your phone. I mean, it works, but it's not as cool. So I decided to put it all, start organizing it in a more, I guess, friendly way using Glide and Google Sheets. And if you're not familiar with the Glide, it allows you to create an app out of information that you put in a Google Sheet. And so I've dropped in tons of great strategies that include links to video and more information that you can read about, as well as included information on reciprocal teaching and things like that. And I'm just, you know, I try to add every month a few strategies so that, you know, it's always changing and you're getting access to a lot of great stuff that you can use. What's nice about like the Visible Learning Meta X is that when you go to their site, you not only see a list of effective or ineffective strategies, you see the research that flowed into that effect size. And so you can get an insight into how to best use a particular strategy. So like classroom discussions, it's not enough to just read the description of what classroom discussions is about. It's great to see exactly how it was, the researchers came about to that perspective. So for reciprocal teaching, if you go there, you can actually read the original story, the original articles and research that they did, and read, I guess, get the rest of the story from of what that was about.
And of course, if you want to get the full story on everything we talked about, the tools and strategies, the links, you can check those all out in the show notes for this episode and at tcea.org/edtechclub. Now, of course, clubs aren't just fun in games. There's going to be a little bit of work, and in this case, it's some homework. When you go to check out the show notes, make sure to look through the links and find some useful instructional strategies you want to try in your work. You can even let us know. Drop us a line at podcast@tcea.org. Tell us what strategies you've used and how they've worked, or what strategies you're looking to adopt. Now, if you like this topic, you want to learn more, and you want to discuss some more instructional strategies, well, we've got a lot more content with Miguel. And the good news is he works down the hall from me, so we'll be able to get him back. So if you have questions or ideas you want to hear discussed on a future episode, send it to that same email, podcast@tcea.org. And if you're finding yourself a diehard member of the EdTech Club, if you're excited by these topics and you want to hear more, well, you're in luck, because you can follow TCEA on all your favorite social media platforms and online. Of course, you can find us at tcea.org, and you can look for TCEA on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and more. Let us know what instructional strategies and tech tools you're using, and get ready for next week, because we're going to have another great meeting. But until then, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being a part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.